Oh, get into his presence, then you forget what I look like. We just see Jesus in our life. Amen. Amen. In your presence, Lord,
that's where I am strong. In your presence, oh Lord, my God.
In
your presence.
Amen. some of the young people. Sister Lily was there as well. We met Brother Daniel from Italy. He was there as well. So it was a real wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. I'm glad to hear that things, the saints really rejoiced here. And Brother Max and Brother Eddie, thank you so much. Wonderful. I think it's been a real good time. So there's a couple of saints who may be sitting, a couple of saints who may come and give a thanksgiving to Brother Max Truman and Sister Eddie. So let's give them an opportunity to come.
Amen.
I'm really grateful as I stand here this evening. The Lord is very good, so we ask the angel first if she can come and say what the Lord put up in her.
This weekend has been more than a blessing to me, because the past month has been good, but then still I felt heaviness within me. I didn't know what I needed to accept. And during the camp over there, I knew that been a great blessing, but I didn't really know what to expect out of it, and to be there was just a blessing, because I believe I wasn't there because I chose to be there, but I was there because God wanted me to be there, because He had something for me over there. And I think one of my big problems, or I don't know how to put it, but it was how to overcome the enemy, because that was always a struggle. And the first night on Friday, it couldn't have gone better than it went. How the dawning just laid everything down. I just went out of there. I knew that was it.
Amen.
The way He speaks how to overcome the enemy, the way He puts it, I don't know how to explain it. You should be there to hear Him and to see Him, to understand what I mean. And ever since that day, the team, all of them, just great blessing. And I left there and I feel this lightness, and this happiness, and all this assurance. And I just want to thank the Lord for
such a
time, and I thank the Lord for all the brothers and sisters who went with me. It was such a blessing to have all of them, especially the pastor with us over there. And I just thank the Lord for all that He's done for me. I praise His name.
Amen.
We all know in this, in different factions, sometimes different things, people want to do this and that. And he really had felt so much a few years back, the brothers who started those meetings, not ministry. There's two different brothers who just really felt burdened for the condition of things in Switzerland. And they arranged the meetings maybe after 6 years ago, 7 years ago, the first time they had those meetings in Lezar where we went. And they took quite a bit of abuse from people saying, but you're not ministers, how can you arrange these meetings? And they found a quote. I think Brother Biscoe quoted that quote, and the prophet was saying, he was saying, we're really glad to be at this conference. We know it's been arranged by these two brothers who aren't ministers. And he says, and sometimes it's good like that, because ministers will make things in one way or the other. And Brother Biscoe was speaking about that, saying that Switzerland has always been a neutral country. You know, so the whole aim of those meetings, ever since they began, was to endeavor. Not to take sides with anybody, not to anybody to come to stress a particular point, but just for the edification of the body. And I think everybody who was there really appreciated that.
Amen.
Is that there was nobody there to establish themselves.
Amen.
Everything that was said, all the aim, the fellowship even around the meetings was for the aim of edification. And brothers said it so well when he said, when the prophet preached conference with God, which was the inspiration for those meetings in the beginning, it was God calling a conference. So that's what you wanted to be. Like Sister Angel was saying there, that there's certain times when God wants to speak to you.
Amen.
But there's certain times you can go, you can make your own plans, and you can manipulate certain events and situations, but there's other times when God just wants to speak to his people. And those are precious times for us. But there's times when it's God is the one. Like with Moses on the backside of the desert.
Amen.
Moses seeking a conference with God. It was God seeking.
Amen.
Amen.
God wanted to speak to his prophet and put it back in line once again. When God came down to Jacob, it wasn't Jacob seeking a conference. It was God seeking a conference with Jacob. So I think that was the most blessed thing which I really found about going there. Is that it was just like a place, and long may it continue like that, where believers can just go to have a conference with God.
Amen.
You know, that there's nothing else. There's no other agenda. The place is real beautiful. You can really understand the prophet when he preached. He was in Switzerland. He preached in Lausanne. He preached in Zurich. And then he spoke about conference of God, and he spoke about the Geneva conference. Now how the people that bring the leaders when there's a crisis and people are looking for inspiration to make the right decision. You bring people to a beautiful place where you can catch an inspiration. And you get people away from the hustle and bustle and the normal walk of life. And you bring people to a place like that. And then people can just focus on the agenda. Those critical times of life, those times, the crossroads where decisions need to be made. Now, I really think it's just an ideal sort of a place. I really pray for this years to come that the Lord will bless those saints for what they do. Those two brothers, because you know, I'm sure they've taken a lot of abuse for what they do. It's not an easy thing to do. But this year, there were maybe well over 400 people there. I think they said almost a touch to 500 people. It started 6 years ago, 120 people just from Switzerland. But there'd been a lot of problems there, a lot of backwards and forwards and wounded soldiers and so forth. And then it's like the Lord called his people for a conference. And ever since then, it's been gaining ground. And each of the ministers up to say, like Sister Angel was saying there, is that Brother Donnie, when he says that, and I've heard many times streaming online, listening to Brother Donnie Reagan online. But friends, it's different when you're there.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, I would never ever recommend anybody get used to just streaming.
Amen.
But you need to be there. Yeah. Not just like people stay at home and they don't come and they say, I'll stream the services. That's never the same.
That's right.
God says, where the two or three are gathered in my name. There's something about that. And even Brother Buskell, I've heard his testimony many times. But when he stood up there and he started to speak, friends, there's a difference.
Amen.
You know, there's a certain anointing that comes when somebody starts speaking about their time with the prophet. But there's something very peculiar about that. You know, so God wants to shut his people in. He has a specific purpose. And when Brother Donnie came, you can really see that God raised a certain people up, like he said,
Amen.
To torment the devil.
Amen.
Because at every chance he torments the devil. It's like he's always on the devil's case. And it's very, very real the way that he was speaking about that realm of demonology. You know, and the way that God always puts the devil to shame. It's a powerful thing. You know, in no sense that I've listened to the messages that he preached on a little block of time. Speaking of, you know, this block of time. And why God allowed sin to come in. And why did God allow the devil to do a lot of the things that he does. It was a very, very outstanding force. So I really do believe those times of conference with God is so important.
Amen.
And we all know that. They're all at certain junctures in life, God calls you for a conference.
Amen.
And you'll never forget those times, you know, as long as you live.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I just don't even know where to start, but it's just response to that sometimes, but also in the gym.
Amen.
It was definitely one of the times, as my sister was saying, and even as the pastor was saying as well, it's just a different atmosphere to be there.
Mm.
And if you're not there, you're not understand. So I believe that the next time many of us will be there to work on. For me, I've always been praying and saying to the Lord, you know, it's good to be in the message, it's good to listen to the message, but you know, I think Tim Preach was saying, you know, the message itself and what actually makes the prophet to be the prophet of the saints is actually the seals and these things. I always pray to the Lord saying, if he can really reveal these things to me. I've listened to the seals before, and you know, I don't want to guess into my intellect with these things, but you really want the Lord, you know, to speak to you,
bring
things to you, amen. And it was such a powerful time with Brother Tim Preach when he got up that morning. He really broke down the message in such a simple way in just 2 hours. And for me, it was such a great revelation. I really thank the Lord for that. But even going again back to those messages, you can understand more. And in terms that maybe you left outside. So it was definitely a blessing. And I really recommend it to every young person, because it's really simple the way he put it. And it's just very, everyone can really understand what actually the message came from, what actually the message is.
Amen.
And I also want to thank the Lord for for his post-healing, because when I came back, I really felt sick. It was really bad. And Tuesday night when I got back, just going to win it, I went to bed in the night, and there was a lot of pain. I called my mom and asked her to pray for me. She prayed, but it was really hard to sleep. And but I really thank the Lord for the same, because I woke up in the morning and there's still a little bit of pain. I can send some messages to my brother, and they prayed for me as well, and really thank the Lord for their prayers, and the Lord really healed me. But what actually happened, strange that I never told my family actually about this, was on Wednesday night when I went to bed. I had a very strange dream, and there was this man who was on the dream, and he was resting black. He said to me, by the end of this day, which was the Thursday come, we're going to die. And I kind of heard in mind what the saints were saying to me, and as well what Brother Don Raymond's preaching. The devil, he's trying to bluff, you know, and he's trying to take away my joy, you know. I was worried during the night. It was somewhere around 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock, so I woke up, and it was hard for me to rise and really kneel down and pray. So once I was lying, I just prayed, and you know, I just said to myself, look, devil, as Redon was saying, you had a beginning, you have an end, and I'm eternal, so forget
it. Amen!
And I'm going to stand on the promise of God, and you're not going to take my life, because the Lord is not true with me. And I just went back to bed, so I slept. I woke up in the morning, I prayed again, you know, I just forgot about it and said, you know, I'm just going to believe in the Lord. I'm not even going to tell anybody to get anybody worried to not pray about, because I just believe there's no way the devil is going to take my life.
Amen.
I am going to stand for this gospel, amen. So, by the grace of God, Thursday went, I woke up Friday, and I really bathed the devil, and I told the devil, so what were you saying? Last I was supposed to die last week, yesterday, but I'm alive today, and I'm standing here and today giving thanks to the Lord, because I said, I'm going to stand here, I'm going to give thanks to my Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one who fought for me. Everybody, you know, though you pray, but the Lord does the want to work himself, amen. So I really thank the Lord for it, and though in a way I'm happy, because definitely means the mind going did something to the devil, because if he really wanted to kill me, God for my sake, if he wanted to kill me, then that means something did. And I thank the Lord for it, and I really thank the Lord for all that he's done. It was a good time with the brethren, with the young brothers, scooting their groans, funny chats, we won't go through them. It was really nice with them. It was a pleasant time with the pastors, well, Brother George. It's a good time with the saints there. And, I really thank the Lord. Thank you, saints, for your prayers. And
amen.
We thank the Lord for the meetings here as well. It was very good. And, we thank them all for that as well. So God bless you.
One thing we need to do thanks for is
One thing I'll say about going there is our young people have a very good reputation there. So many people say that to me. They said, "Ah, your people's young people are so wonderful." Right, yeah, Brother Franz, I pick up all the way down. And we really do appreciate that. Yes, it's a wonderful thing to have young people that have left a very good testimony there.
Amen.
And you find yourself more than welcome there because of the testimony of the young people. You know, so we really do appreciate what the Lord has done. But I want to just give a thanksgiving as well. I never ever thought I was going to be able to go. I think you remember when we announced in church some months back about those meetings. And I said, I'd really like to go. But somebody from Ghana, some saints, had invited Brother Max to come and take a convention over Easter. So Brother Max came to me and said, "What do you think?" I said, "It's fine, bro, go." So I said, "Oh, it's okay, I'll stay around on Easter. There's nobody coming to preach, it's okay." Yeah, I know the young people will be going, different ones, going to Switzerland. So yeah, I just waited on that. And then Brother Max came maybe 6 weeks ago or so and said, "Brother, there's some complications here with this convention in Ghana. You know, it seems like the saints have gathered, you know, we're going to gather all the different groups together, and then some other ministers got quite a bit of influence there when he heard about it. He decided to come and make a convention right in the next town. I think it was where the brothers were going to have their convention. So it would have caused a big fuss." So Brother Mike said, "Look, I think maybe it's best for me not to go. I think maybe those brothers who we're going to gather with, rather let them go to the main meeting and don't speak to that minister. And try to iron some of these things out. So maybe next year, by the grace of God, or next time, maybe everybody could be there." So I said, "Oh, that's interesting, brother." So that was at that time. And then shortly after that, I dreamt. And it was a very powerful dream to me. And I dreamt that I met Brother Wilson. Brother Wilson was speaking to me in the dream. And I was telling him certain things in this dream. He wanted to ask me certain things. And I was speaking to him. And I woke up in the morning and I said to Gitan, I said, "That was such a strong dream for me." I said, "Somehow, maybe I'm going to go to Switzerland." I said, "It just seems like the way is going to open." But already the saints had invited us to go to Poland. So I had to send my passport in to get a visa, get a Schengen visa to go to Poland. So I thought, well, with Switzerland being the week after going to Poland, there sure ain't going to be any time to get my passport back and then apply again now for a visa to go to Switzerland. But when, not this week, Monday, the previous week, the week before we went to Poland, my passport arrived, and then Gitana phoned me when I was at work and said, "Your passport's arrived." You know, when there's something that moves inside of your heart, I said, "What visa did they give me?" She says, "I gave you a multiple entry 6 months visa." Then I said, "Wonderful." So what I quickly did, it was the Monday, we're leaving for Poland on the Friday, so I quickly texted Brother Jonathan in Switzerland. I said, "Brother, the Polish embassy has given me a multiple entry visa, so Brother Max doesn't have to go away, so there's a possibility maybe I could come. Is there accommodation there?" He said, "Brother, you've got no chance." That's how you
are. Amen.
He said, "This has been full for months." So I said, "Okay, brother, we come and we find another place to stay." He said, "Okay." He said, "No, brother, that should be fine." He says, "But don't worry. Let me see if I can find something." So Brother George contacted him as well, and he told Brother George, "Brother, you brothers, why are you applying so late?" So we said, "Honestly, we didn't know we were going to have a chance to go so late." So then Brother George told him, "Don't worry, bro. Somebody will cancel." A few minutes later, Brother Jonathan takes me back. "Brother, somebody cancelled. There's a
payment."
Payment.
So we checked for the tickets. And the tickets were so reasonable. We had expected to pay such a fortune for the tickets. Lord, this looks like you want to have a conference with me. It's like that. So, and I really appreciated it. Especially those meetings, like Brother Max was saying, or Brother Tim.
Hallelujah.
That first meeting, I don't think personally myself I've ever been in a more powerful meeting.
Amen.
It was just powerful.
Hallelujah.
It wasn't powerful so much because of manifestation, but it was powerful because of revelation.
Amen.
I've never been in a place that somebody takes the message and condenses so much truth under such an anointing like that. It was powerful. And he came and he completed the message on the Sunday. And I had said it to all the saints. I said, "Saints, if you really want to understand what this message is, why, what God had in his mind in sending a prophet, go and listen to those two." But you have to listen a lot of times because he's condensed a lot of truth. The first message, maybe I'll speak a bit about it on Sunday, but the first message he was preaching, he called it, you know, what was the title? The day that heaven opened. The day that heaven opened. That's what his title was in both messages. But the first message, He's really speaking about the seven thunders, about the seven voices. He takes a lot of things, but you'll see that's his main theme. He's speaking about the seven thunders. Then on the Sunday now, he spoke about the seven seals. He was speaking about the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
And he ties those things together so perfectly. Now, like I said to the saints, I said, he didn't say anything new.
Yes,
it wasn't anything which I didn't know.
Amen.
But when somebody takes everything and puts it into one big, sweet picture, it's very powerful.
Amen.
It was powerful. And in those messages, he was knocking so many of the problems in the message on the head.
That's right.
Amen.
If you're going to listen to this message, if you think there's any hope of an eighth angel, there's something wrong with you.
That's right.
If you think you have to listen to anybody else except for the prophet, he demolished those ideas.
Amen.
Just taking it from the quotes. And when I made my notes, I took a lot of notes. And when I went and I was reading this week, going through my notes, no, people say things when they're ministering, but it's so wonderful that when you go and check what that person said, you'll find they're just quoting quotes. People can be so saturated with a message that they're just speaking, and you'll think it's them speaking, but it's not. They're just quoting one quote after another. That gives you a lot of confidence in the ministry.
Hallelujah.
When somebody does that, they're not speaking from their own understanding, but they've got the big picture. I said it really with the young people. I said, the thing I love about that, the prophet says, when you're putting your jigsaw puzzle together, you can never understand where a piece goes unless you know the big picture.
Yes, sir.
And
he
came and preached the big picture.
Amen.
That big picture was so clear.
Amen.
To understand why, what is the message? What was the very purpose of this message? So when you now go back to your Satan's Eden, or you go back to your invisible union, or you go back to Sirs, is this the time? It's very easy to place those pieces in the right place because you see the big picture.
Amen.
But if you don't have an understanding of the big picture, it's not that easy sometimes to understand what all of these events meant. But everything works together to this one great big picture.
Amen.
It was very powerful. It was very powerful.
Amen.
And Brother Johnny Reagan, those messages that he preached, they were just
hallelujah.
Amen. It was like a dream come true. When he stood in there, I've heard him preach some of these things before, but it was just so powerful. He started off, we just got to this place. We'll never be in a more beautiful place than there. And there's those beautiful Swiss Alps there. And then he gets on and he starts speaking about creation.
Amen.
He starts speaking those messages about how God allowed the earth to suffer. Not just in Eden, but in the times gone by.
Amen.
It was very powerful taking the message to show how God has allowed this earth to suffer time and time again in this great conflict between God and the devil.
That's right.
How the Lord has allowed the devil, has allowed this creation to groan and to suffer and to fall. And then God comes with the power of restoration to show who He is. And He shows the devil that you can't do more, but you can't transform.
Hallelujah.
It really, really shows the devil. And you have such an affinity. You see these beautiful mountains. You see this great creation. You see springtime there in Switzerland bursting forth. And you say, this earth has suffered because of man.
Yes, sir.
How do you feel? It was so real when you were saying that. And how this creation is growing.
Yes.
Just waiting for its full liberty, but it can't come to full liberty until we first have to offer liberty.
Amen.
Because when Adam fell, the king of the earth, everything fell with Adam. And until the sons of God get back to where they're supposed to be, this creation, it just shows potential sometimes. Like you said, it's springtime when you find, just the sun starts to warm the earth, you find it starts to burst forth. Like you can see, it wants to express itself in its fullness. But it's limited because of the fall. So it was really, really outstanding being there when you were speaking of those things to say,
Amen.
You really feel an affinity for this world.
Amen.
Because just as much as our bodies grow, because they're still in a fallen condition, you find this whole of creation is growing, waiting for the manifestation. And when Tim came now and showed the season and showed the desire of God and showed the manifestation of the Son.
Amen.
Friend, those things really pieced themselves together so perfectly. And then Brother Biscoe came with his testimony. And then Brother Biscoe, all he was trying to do was to show a visitation.
Amen.
When God visits, he wants it to be a personal visitation.
Amen.
And he was almost pleading with people. He was almost pleading to say, don't let this opportunity pass you by.
Amen.
That same one that came down in the car. That same one that came to the Lord, he wants to meet with you. Very outstanding time. And then Brother Ron Spence preached, preparing for the prayer line. I just wanted to speak a little bit about similar thought, but from Jairus. But he really got on to speaking about Jairus. About there's times in your life you've got to get to Jesus.
Amen.
He was speaking about that. It was very, very good the way that he took that. And then the prayer line, there were some outstanding things there. The testimonies that were coming were really outstanding from that prayer line. You know, all the ministers prayed for the people that took hours for the prayer line. But it was mighty.
Amen.
I really do thank the Lord that he gave us an opportunity to go. I never expected to go. But I'm really glad that
Hallelujah.
The Lord really did open up the way. And to go and be with the saints there, it was wonderful. To be with our saints, to be with Brother George, to be with the young people, to be with Sister Lily, meet Brother Jonathan again, meet Brother Daniel. Oh, it was just a real, real nice time. And then, one reason I wanted to go, because you want to broaden your contacts as well. And you want to go and meet other people. And it was really wonderful to meet saints from all over. You know, to get new friendships going, new ways that the Lord can bless and open up opportunities for people to come here to bless us. It was really, really what the reason I wanted to go. I said, how can you ever invite Brother Tim Pruitt or those brothers if you never meet them? If you have any personal touch, any personal contact with people, there's no real chance for the Lord to open up the way that you really would desire Him to do it. So I really do believe all things work together for me.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Let's stand. Let's read the scripture. Let's read from Mark chapter 5. If I could just take a thought based on this issue of a conference with God, but if I could give it just a thought to speak about from a visitation to a testimony.
Amen.
You know, there's a difference between a visitation and a testimony. A visitation is potentially a testimony.
Yes, sir.
Like, you saints who were here, I heard the Lord really bless the meeting. That's a visitation.
Yeah, man.
We went to it. It was really a visitation. God visiting His people.
Yeah, man.
But it depends on now what we do with that visitation.
Yeah.
That visitation can just stay as a visitation. It can just be a good memory, nice photos, a good testimony. Or by the grace of God, we could follow that visitation through and allow it to really unfold itself to a testimony.
Amen.
That's what you want it to be. You want any visitation to move beyond just being a visitation. But we know there's an enemy for him.
That's right.
And he doesn't want a visitation to go beyond a visitation.
Amen.
So let's just read Mark chapter 5. Just to think about this time of Jairus. I thought of this when the brother was preaching. Let's just read the first few verses, Mark 5, 21, beginning of the story of the raising of Jairus' daughter. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she may live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch about his clothes, I shall be whole. And straight away the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that blood. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto his daughter, Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou thy master before me? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue,
vino de fuego.
Amen.
We thank you for your loving kindness. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your sons. Thank you for your daughters. Thank you, Father, for what you do in the hearts of
Amen.
Father, be glorified.
Hallelujah.
Even as we think of this,
please, Lord,
won't you take us in your Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 So, just to think of these two things from a visitation to testimony, you'll see it straight away from this time when Jesus came into this region. This was a visitation. This was a visitation of grace to these people. And I'm just quoting from the message. This is 1955-0604, when the prophet speaking about Jairus, the secret believer. And it's really interesting how the prophet pieces it together, because you'll find that Jesus to come to that area was because of three different reasons. There were three things that were pulling Jesus to come. The first one was the maniac. You know, we won't speak of that, but the prophet speaks of that. This is what caused Jesus to get into a stormy, into a boat on a stormy sea and come across, though he was tired, to come to this particular region. And the very first thing was because there was a deep inside of this man, this maniac. There was a soul, the prophet says, that was crying out for help. So Jesus came and he brought about a season, a time of visitation, in response, firstly, to this deep that was crying out in this maniac's life. And the second reason Jesus was in this area was because of Jairus.
Hallelujah.
Jairus didn't know this as yet. In the time when Jesus got on the boat and started to come across, Jairus didn't really know the reason why Jesus was coming.
Amen.
But Jesus knew the reason that he was
Hallelujah.
Coming.
Hallelujah.
He knew what was going to happen, even Amen. Before Jairus knew
Thank
what was
you,
going to happen.
Amen.
And then the third reason Jesus came was because of the woman with an issue of blood. There was a woman who had suffered all these things with these physicians for all these years, but it was her season now. It was her time. And because of this deep inside of each of these people, this great need that they had, and the faith that they had, this drew Jesus right to their area to come and give them a personal visitation at this time. So Jesus comes, and now the prophet, he speaks about Jairus, and he says, I've always thought that Jairus was a secret believer. He believed in his heart that that truly was a man of God. And if a man is really sincere in his heart, God will work something around so that he will have to make his colors shine. So Jairus here, he believes the message, but he's a secret believer. He needs something to bring him to what he's supposed to be.
Amen.
So he needs not just a visitation, but he needs a vindication.
Amen.
He needs Jesus to minister something very personally to him, to bring him out of the situation of just being a secret believer, not wanting other people to really know that he is. Jesus brings the situation, the circumstance in the life of this man, because Jesus knew what was in this man. This is a sincere man, and this man does believe, but to bring that faith out, to bring the testimony out, to bring Jairus out to become what he's really supposed to become, God has to bring a certain situation in the life of Jairus. And Jesus is pulled because of that, because the prophet says, he came by vision. There was a vision that he saw. And he said, I'm going to go and park my father's business to go and fulfill this vision. So, without Jesus, everything he did was by vision. Everything he did was by personal revelation. That it was a revelation of the Father's will. That's what he did. And friend, when you find that you have a time of visitation in your life, there's a purpose.
Amen.
You know, this is all according to the Father's will.
Amen.
You know, he's looking down on you. He's looking at your circumstances. He's looking at your situation. You know, and the deep that's inside of you. Though you may not even know fully that it's there, Jairus didn't fully know who he really was. You know, he was an eagle, but he needed the nest to be stirred so they could really fly. Yeah, and that's what happens many times inside of our life. The Lord brings certain situations and circumstances, you know, to wean us off the arm of flesh and the hope that's inside of people and so forth, and to get us to a situation that our only hope is Him.
Amen. Amen.
Those are important times. That our own, that knows when he comes to visit us. And the invitation comes to show us the potential of that season.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not enough just the visitation. It wasn't enough just to have Jesus in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
The Jairus needed to get Jesus in his home. Mm-hmm. The Jairus needed to get himself in a very, very personal position with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't enough for Jesus just to be healing the sick next door, to be doing things in the midst of the people that Jairus would fellowship with, would associate with. The Lord brought a situation in the life of this man, the same with this woman with an issue of blood. Now she realized that a visitation is good. Now this is the grace of God. Jesus is in the neighborhood. But it wasn't enough just to rest in the visitation. Now they needed this visitation to unfold personally to them. They needed to follow this visitation through so that what the vision was could really be expressed.
Amen.
That the real heart's purpose that God had in sending Jesus that to them as this visitation of grace.
Amen.
So that it could unfold itself to a testimony.
Hallelujah.
You know, because a testimony is something which signifies the purpose of God for something.
Amen.
You know, you might see, but the Lord, I can really see the Lord's dealing with me inside of my life, you know. The Lord's drawing here, but what is the purpose that He's drawing
here? Right.
That you want to come in that season of visitation to a place that you can say, like when the whole theme of the conference when you're there was, whenever He comes, something good happens.
Amen.
Because you want to know, when He comes, it needs to unfold to something good.
Amen.
It needs to unfold to something that you put your finger upon, something that will change you, that you will never be the same.
Amen.
But my friend, it's not guaranteed that a visitation will become a testimony.
Sure.
Because between the time of the visitation when Jesus comes in the neighborhood, and the time now that there's the testimony, there's the devil as well. Because he can sense the season just as much as you can sense the season.
Amen.
Something's taking place here.
Amen.
And the devil's going to try to come in between the time of the visitation
Amen.
And the time that the testimony unfolds itself. And he's going to want to short circuit that purpose.
That's right.
And that's how when you spoke a few weeks back about quench not the spirit. Be careful. You know, when Sensia had a blessed time in the presence of the Lord, we had a blessed time in the presence of the Lord. But let's be careful that we don't quench that spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Let's be careful that we don't just receive the grace of God in vain, like Paul says, by allowing the devil to come in and pulling us down and pulling us back into the very things that he had to come and give us a visitation to deliver us from.
Amen.
And we don't want to have to go back into those things once
Amen.
Again. And if you really want to stay in the spirit of the visitation, you know what you need to do? You need to make sure you don't allow anything contrary to the nature of the Holy Ghost inside
Amen.
Of you.
Amen.
Amen.
You don't need to fellowship with people that are going to say things contrary to the nature of the Holy Ghost. Because one of the quickest ways you can quench the Spirit is gossip, criticism, negativity, and those kinds of things. And the devil, like we'll see with Jairus, is going to try to surround you with people like that.
Right.
When Jairus gets to his house, it's full of negative people. There's people that aren't part of the vision there. And if he was going to listen to those people and fellowship with those people, you know, maybe this visitation was going to unfold into the fullness of the vision expressing itself. Second thing you do, feed your experience. Feed your experience. You feed the Holy Ghost on things that have the nature of the Holy Ghost. And the thing that has the nature of the Holy Ghost is His Word. And it's the message of the hour. That's the food that the Spirit inside of you feeds upon. So you're going to feed that experience. Remember, Paul says, stir up the gift of God that is
in
you. No, he's saying, put wood on the fire. You know, feed that. And that's really, it's why testimony is a good thing and fellowship is a good thing. That when you come from a place that you've had a blessing, to fellowship around those things.
Amen.
When you find the Lord spoken to you down a certain line, don't let it stop there.
Amen.
You get yourself shut in with Jesus and you search those things out yourself.
Amen.
And let it continue to unfold itself. Let it continue to unfold itself until the full purpose of that visitation has been.
Amen.
Amen.
But there's two things Paul said. He says we can grieve this. In Ephesians 4, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God whereby you are sealed. If you go and read the previous verse, it says, by corrupt communication. It says, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. You know, the things we say in the time of visitation are very important. No matter how much the devil may come, like Brother Maxwell said, to afflict your flesh, to come and challenge you after a time of visitation.
Yes, sir.
Don't let your testimony be negative.
Amen.
Let your testimony be positive.
Amen.
Don't allow anything contrary to the nature of the Holy Ghost,
Amen.
Especially in that season, to come into your sphere of influence. No, but you rather, when the negativity comes, you feed yourself upon the word, upon prayer,
Amen.
And you neutralize that negative energy that wants to come in, to sidetrack your energy from coming all the way to the testimony,
Amen.
All the way to the full result and purpose that God had in drawing near to you in your time
Amen.
Of visitation.
Amen.
Because remember Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. What did he weep over them for? He said, if only you had have known in this
Hallelujah.
Your day. He says, but you knew not the time of your visitation. He was there. He said, I would have gathered you as a hen gathered her chicks. He says, I would have done so many things for you. I would, but you would not. You know, so I really do believe, friends, that visitations are wonderful. But so many times in our own experiences, we all testify. There's times we haven't allowed that visitation to really fulfill its purpose. There's times we've allowed all these other things to come, and we've got to be jealous, friends. We've got to be vigilant. We've got to be diligent and disciplined to say, Lord, devil, you're not robbing me of my duty.
Amen.
You're not taking me back to where I was.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But I want to go from glory to glory.
Amen.
I want to go on from where I am. I want higher glory.
Hallelujah.
I appreciate where I am, but there's higher heights.
Amen.
There's a great inheritance for me to possess.
Amen.
And friends, let's not just be satisfied with the visitation. Let's appreciate it. Let's testify. Let's feed it. Until it comes into a testimony.
Amen.
Until it comes into something concrete inside of your life.
Amen.
That you look and you'll say, I was so down. Like Sister Angel was saying, but something happened to me. And all the days of your life, you'll never forget that time.
Amen.
That's a stepping stone in your experience.
Amen.
That's something which was put in your spiritual diary that you'll never forget.
Sure.
Know that in days to come, you'll be able to wind Amen. Back to that, go back to that day, that time, that season, and say, like Brother Biscoe was saying in the pulpit that day, when he started off, He came to me.
Amen.
And I didn't come to him. He came to me.
Amen.
And you'll know why he came to me.
Amen.
It was his grace. He saw you in your time of need. He met you at your point of need. My friend, one thing I've learned with conferences, when I was there, the Lord spoke certain things to me so clearly.
Amen.
But I know when the Lord speaks to you, it's not finished yet.
Yes, sir.
You now need to be diligent to go and don't be obedient and follow through what the Lord has told you.
Amen.
Not to be a forgetful hearer. We don't want to be forgetful hearers coming from time to blessing. We don't want to just look in the great mirror of the anointed word when we're in a certain place and we see the places now clearly where we need this to be dealt with, or we need to do this, or we need to learn the lesson from that. And then we come out of that great anointed presence, we come away from the mirror of the word, and then we don't do anything about it. Because if you're going to find yourself next month back where you were before the visitation, that's not God's desire, friends. But that's the desire of the wicked one. That's what he's going to try to do. Already when I heard Brother Max was sick like that, I knew that.
Amen.
I said, it really shows that Brother Max gave him a good kicking on the weekend.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It is. There's got to be a negative reaction. There's got to be a counterattack. Otherwise, the devil's not doing his job. And we need to be wise to that. Spirits of oppression, spirits of depression, spirits of criticism, all kinds of other things that come. Don't pay heed to those things.
Amen.
But just feed your soul. Surround yourself with things that are compatible with the visitation. That will feed the spirit of that visitation. And let it continue on and on and on.
Amen.
Going from glory to glory.
Amen.
Because Jesus comes into this label with you. And he comes now, and you know the prophet speaks about it, and he says, it's the darkest time when Jesus comes.
Amen.
You know, it was a hard time for the media. Yeah? Maybe it was the last chance he was ever going to get. Who knows? Maybe Satan was going to shorten his days right at that time. For that woman with an issue of blood, she had spent everything. That she had come to the end. There was nothing more that she could do. Jairus had a situation coming up that he absolutely needed to raise God out of his grave. One brother Spencer was saying. He needed, he was studying all the time about the God of history. He was the ruler of the synagogue. He could tell you all about Moses and tell you all about the prophets and so forth. But he needed a present tense experience to minister to his present tense name.
Amen.
And friends, at those kind of crises, those kind of times, friends, you need to guard your experience. Amen. When grace has come in once again, when mercy has come in, you want mercy to really rewrite your life.
Amen.
You don't want to say, I tasted of mercy. Okay, what did the mercy do for you? I don't really know. No. Let mercy unfold itself to something.
Amen.
Let it unfold itself to something substantial, something that's eternal, something that does something for you that you'll never be the same. That's the design that the Lord has. It's whenever he comes, he says, the rain when it comes down, it won't return to you without achieving the purpose which I sent to you. No, so when that blessing comes, that visitation comes, let's allow it to unfold itself.
Amen.
And let's help one another in that.
Amen.
Now let's not fellowship around negative things.
Amen.
Now let's not speak about other people. Let's not speak about other. It's so tempting to do that.
Amen.
That's what the devil always wants. But let's have the attitude when Jesus was speaking to Peter and said, you know, the time's going to come. When you were young, you led yourself. But the time's going to come, people are going to bind you and lead you to a place you don't want to go. And
yes.
John, being like the rest of us, now said, what are, and then Peter said, what about this man? And Jesus said to Peter, but Peter, in essence, said, Peter, I'm speaking to you about your future. Don't worry about what I'm going to do.
Yes.
I'm speaking to what I'm telling you. You haven't fully learned from what I'm trying to say to you yet. Why are you worrying about this man? What is that to you? Follow thou me.
This
time you need to follow me. You may not know Peter, you know, the days that lay before you, but you need to walk with me at this time. Don't pay attention to anything else. It's a real, real good thing. And when people preach certain things, friends, and you find it was a blessing, why go and try the things too quickly?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Stay in those things.
Amen.
You know, if you find something ministered to you, and there's different messages being quoted from there, go and listen to those messages.
Amen.
Don't just listen once. Listen until you've got all the virtue that you can glean as much as you can. From that handful that Boaz has dropped on purpose at that time. Make sure you've gleaned the fields to the fullness and then move on to something else. But take advantage of the seasons of invitation. These are times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. These are times of grace. When he comes to you because you couldn't come to him.
Amen.
You can get yourself sometimes in a situation that there's no way you can get yourself out.
Mm.
You won't get to that stage.
Amen.
The only hope you have, he has to come to you.
Hallelujah.
Like John in his prison house. He needed the word to come to him to set him free. You know, so those kind of the seasons when he brings a visitation, there's always a purpose for that visitation. So it's a good thing to really, really follow it all the way through by the grace of God. So the prophet speaks about the woman of the blood issue. So she comes in the middle of the story. Jairus comes, his daughter sick, falls at the feet of Jesus. It says, and he besought him greatly. The man had a desperation, friends. The man didn't come to pray that day just to pray as a joke. No, the man says, hey, me, I'm coming. I'm at the feet of Jesus and I'm not letting him go. And he answers what I'm saying. He came and he besought greatly. And then Jesus says, okay, I'll come along with you. And then the woman of issue of blood comes in the middle of the story. And the prophet says, on the other side of the shore, as soon as they got there, a little woman was upon the hill up there. She constantly grew worse and worse. What a time. The doctors, probably with all sincerity, had tried to stop their blemish. But I can imagine her saying, if I could only be over in the other land where the prophet is. If I could only get close enough to touch his garments. For I've heard many things of him.
Amen. Amen.
But she didn't know the one that you heard about was coming to her.
Amen.
She couldn't go to where he was, so he came to her.
Amen.
She had a need. She had a desire. She had heard of him. She needed personal ministration from Christ himself.
Hallelujah.
And she was thinking to herself to say, if there was only some way I could go to where he is. Friend, that's grace.
Amen.
When you can't come to where he is,
yes, sir. Amen.
When he comes to you and he meets you right in your control. Thank you. And friends, what he says to you at those kind of times are the most precious things.
Amen.
That the most important things, nothing is more important than what he says to you.
Amen.
We derail and pay heed. And the prophet says that he says, when the woman was thinking like that, he says, and that night, when Jesus toiling all night and the disciples across the storm-blowing sea, why? The devil trying to hinder the meeting. That's the devil's job, friends. The devil trying to stop a testimony. The devil trying to hinder the meeting just as hard as he could. He will do that to every God-sent meeting. And friends, it's not this kind of a meeting, but it's you and God. That's the most important God-sent meeting. That the devil can sense inside of himself that certain season. He doesn't discern the heart. He doesn't know what's inside of your heart. But he can see your attitude. He can see the way you pray. He can see a certain quickening power. And he knows, like it was in the days of Moses, like it was before Jesus, when Jesus was born, I've got to stop this in its infancy. That's his job. He doesn't want something to gain the momentum. He doesn't want something to go beyond just a potential. And that's why you fight that thing. All the guns of hell will come against them.
Amen.
That's why Jesus, when they're coming across the sea, it comes the storm trying to sink them in the middle of the sea. How many times does the prophet says 10,000 devils of the sea,
yes, sir,
swore they would drown him. He said his boat was on the sea like a bottle stop, like a cork, being tossed around on the sea. And what was it? There was a deep calling to a deep. And the devil says there's a deep calling to a deep here. I need to get in the middle.
Hallelujah.
He'll always try to do it. The prophet says the devil will work everything he can to keep it from coming. But go on anyhow. Yeah? Resist the devil.
Amen.
And he will flee from
you.
He says, stand toe to toe with him and say, it's thus saith.
Amen.
Amen.
When you sense that God is dealing with you and the devil comes and says, "You, I'm going to take your life," you stand toe to toe and say, God's not finished with me yet, my friend. God hasn't taken me today to lose me tomorrow.
Amen.
God hasn't visited me on the weekend so that you can take my life.
Hallelujah. Amen.
It's not the way that God works.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says, stand toe to toe with him.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
So the prophet says they moved right on in, the disciples. And I can see that tired bunch of disciples, weary and worn from pulling all night on the ship. Jesus nodding in the back of the ship. Imagine the tiredness. Imagine all the effort that's been made. Imagine all that. All these people are struggling and suffering. Why? Because God wants to meet with three people. All of this arrangement. Jesus leaving the big meetings over there. Jesus so tired, the disciples risking their lives so that three people can benefit. They didn't realize that. They didn't know that there was the deep in three people that were pulling Jesus across the sea. But friend, in the end, it's more than worth it. It doesn't matter what you have to go through. It doesn't matter what other people have to go through, arranging meetings and preparing them. All the sacrifice that people make, as long as it can bring about a meeting. As long as there's a deep in somebody. God is using you in some way as well to bring the deep to come and
meet. Hallelujah.
And so those saints that arranged those meetings over there with all their heartaches and disappointments and all of the financial needs and all of the pressure it puts on them and their families. But I'm sure when they get to the end of the meetings, they don't have a single regret. They have a single regret of all the sacrifice that they put. Because they see that, hey, He was a deep inside of so many people that gathered. And when right from the beginning you find, hey, there's a deep that responds.
Amen.
It's wonderful. And God always responds to them. So the prophet says that they were so tired bunch of men. He says, and then all the criticism started to come. When the people met him at the boat and said, oh, here comes the miracle worker. Maybe he's going to work miracles. And the prophet says, Jesus is the Lord. In your time of visitation, friends, there's certain things you need to know. There's certain places you need to know. There's certain people you need to know. Sometimes it's an internal voice.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Pay any attention to that. Don't get sidetracked to those kind of times.
Amen.
Remember the prophet was told, don't get your line tangled in these kind of times.
Amen.
Don't get things tangled up. Stay simple.
Yeah.
Stay away from complex things. If somebody wants to come and say, listen, please, my friend, thanks very much, but I'm busy.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I'm busy about my Father's business.
Amen.
If God is dealing with me, I don't know when He's going to deal with me again. I don't know what's coming down the way, but while He's dealing with me now, I want to make sure that I fulfill the purpose of Him dealing with me.
Amen.
Don't do too many things. The prophet says Jesus ignored them and He walked right on.
Hallelujah.
I like what Brother Johnny, I think, said about Tim Brody. He says, hey, Enoch walked with God.
Amen.
He says, to walk with God is a journey.
Amen.
He says, don't stop until you get to the destination.
Amen.
Amen.
That's wisdom, friends.
Amen.
So when God comes, we find He's walking with you once again. He hasn't been real in your experience for some time. Don't stop short.
Mm.
He's taking you to a destination.
Amen.
So when Jairus started to walk with Jesus, it wasn't enough just for him to walk halfway to his house.
Mm.
He needed to walk all the way to his house.
Amen.
There's a destination in the vision. And Jesus came to walk with him to the destination.
Amen.
And you ask yourself that whenever the devil's trying to come and confuse you, they said, hey, have I yet got to the destination in this visitation? Have I really got to the point that I can say, yeah, I now understand what God came to visit me. No, don't stop short. Now, there's a destination, and Jesus continued walking right on. He said He wasn't fussing with them. He had the Father's will to do. Friend, that's an important thing to focus on, is what is His will.
Amen.
Focus on that. And He says, and that little woman, she pressed right on through every one of the unbelievers.
Amen.
The visitation had come. Jesus was there. But she didn't yet have her testimony. And there was a lot of things between her visitation and the testimony. There was a great crowd of unbelievers. There was all criticism and unbelief. There was things she had to press her way through to get to a testimony. Is that not true, saints?
Amen.
That's the truth. You've got to expect an opposition.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You've got to expect
every
action, there's a negative reaction.
Amen.
Whenever God starts moving, the devil starts moving as well.
Yeah.
And you just really need at that kind of time to walk in step with Him.
Amen.
He says, she pressed right on through every one of the unbelievers. Probably crawling between the crowds and beneath the people. Until she touched His garment.
Amen.
Moved back out with a perfect satisfaction that her faith had made a contact.
Amen.
Her faith had made a contact. Everything was preliminary before that. All the testimony she was hearing, all the things that she was seeing, everything was trying to bring her to this point. That her faith could make a contact.
Amen.
And friends, when her faith made a contact, both sides knew there was a contact.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
She immediately knew there was a contact. She felt in herself. She was healed of her faith. And Jesus straight ahead knew there was a contact and said, virtue's gone up.
Hallelujah.
Who was else that touched them? Friends, something happened in both of those realms.
Amen.
In both the spiritual dimension and inside of her, the dimension of her need. When she got to this point of realizing her day of visitation and pressing through, not getting sidetracked, following it through until she could say, yes, that was it.
Amen.
That's what He wanted to do for me. That's what He wanted to minister to my experience at this time. It was a blessed time, his friends.
Amen.
It was a blessed time. But let's be honest, how many times do we stop short?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
We stop short far more times than we
want to. Amen.
That's right.
Because the devil's a sly old fox.
Remember
that he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And he knows how to get us sometimes to accept the second best what begins to stop short doesn't stop short.
Amen.
The prophet says, and he says, Jesus turned around and he said, your faith has made you whole. Then he gets onto Jairus. And he says, and about that time, there was a little man back over on the other side of the hill, a few miles away. He belonged to a fine denomination, had a lot of social prestige. Can you see, like we said, self is the one that holds you back.
Amen.
But
Amen.
Jesus knows how to get the real expression
Amen.
Of you. Amen. 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 Inside of this man, there's someone who believes. He really does believe. But there's got to be an expression of that faith.
Yes.
That faith has to have something to bring it out of the nest. That's got to have something to allow that faith to come to the place that it's supposed to be. And he allowed the situation to come in. He said, he was all dressed up as a professor. But down in beneath of all those priestly robes, he truly believed that was the Son of God. Mm. So God gave him an opportunity to profess his faith and to put it to work.
Mm.
Every child is that, friend.
Amen.
That's an opportunity for you to profess your faith and to put it to work.
Amen. Amen.
But we don't like those situations. We don't want it like that. We like it in the nest. We like the lamb's wool. We like it all to be nice and comfortable in the comfort zone. And then that answer is okay. I know how to bring this out. And you bring something inside of your life, like with Jairus, where not even your closest friend.
Yeah.
He had, the prophet says, he says, when his daughter became sick, he says, had a little girl, maybe 12 years old, and she took sick. God knew what he was going to do.
Yeah.
That's the reason Jesus came.
Amen. Amen.
You know, sometimes a visitation now is to prepare you for something that's just about
Amen.
Amen.
This visitation was Jesus. When Jesus first got there, Jairus' daughter wasn't sick.
Yes.
But that visitation was to preempt anything the enemy was going to do.
Mm.
Was to prepare Jairus for this situation, to minister him through this situation.
Amen.
To minister him right the way through to that testimony. Amen. That's what the visitation said to me. If you can walk with him in the midst of it. So she took sick. That's the reason Jesus came. The prophet says days passed. Her respiration began to go on. All of the remedies. Speaking of the doctor who came, the poor man did everything that he knew in that day to do. He did all that he could. Probably he was an immediate friend to the family.
Yeah.
Amen.
There's times that you'll go to everybody, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
To try to find a solution to your situation. You'll go, but you'll find God will put you in a situation that not even your closest associates can minister to you.
Amen.
And God wants it to be like that.
Yes. Amen.
Because God wants to do something for you.
Amen.
He wants a visitation to become a meeting
place.
A place where He really meets with you in your house. To bring out something that was always in you, but it never an opportunity to come to what it was supposed to be.
Mm.
Like with Jairus. Those situations, friends, when it's hard. You can imagine the prophet says, the doctor coming with every remedy that he could think about. Maybe speaking to his associates as well, and they recommending this and recommending that. His closest friend, the doctor. But he didn't have the answer to that situation. And friend, whenever you get into a situation like that, God has allowed that situation.
Amen.
It's God's purpose and God's will. He knows how. So finally, we know how he gets desperate. And he says, puts on his coat and so forth. And then his wife says, Jairus, where are you going? He says, I'm making my way to St. Jesus. It was a time of protection. He knew Jesus wasn't here. He knew Jesus was in the neighborhood.
Amen.
But he needed to get to Jesus.
Amen.
Just the visitation wasn't enough as a general visitation.
Yeah.
That didn't minister to his particular need. He needed himself to get to Jesus. That's what he needed to get to. There was something inside of him that he needed, if I could just get to Jesus. So that's a good thing to do.
Mm.
In the hour of distress, make your way to Him.
Amen.
For He's a very present help in the time of trouble.
Amen.
I can hear His associates and all the deacon board say to Him, boy, you'll be excommunicated. God expected not to be things spread. There's gonna be things thrown, there's gonna be things said, there's gonna be things done. You're gonna wake up tomorrow with a headache, like you say, whenever you decide, I'm gonna fast and seek the Lord tomorrow, you're gonna have a serious headache tomorrow. That's just the best that it works.
Amen.
To God and praise the Lord.
Amen.
The prophet says, but listen, the time had come. The crucial moment that he had a need. That's what we need today. When the time comes for a need.
Yeah.
When death is knocking at your door. Yeah? He says, you may laugh at it now. You may laugh at the things of God now. But when the need comes, you don't care who's standing around.
Yeah.
Whether you're excommunicated or not, you'll find your way to Christ just as certain as anything.
Amen.
Just as certain as anything. He says, that little spark that makes you believe that, listen to it tonight. Water it with faith.
Amen.
And God will grow it into a tree of salvation.
Amen.
Amen.
So when visitation comes, there's a spark there, friends. There's a potential there. The prophet says, water it with faith.
Amen.
Keep watering it until it grows into a tree of salvation. It grows into a testimony.
Amen.
It grows into something like it did for Jared. He says, now, he made himself down, way down, and the people criticizing, but remember, he couldn't say now, oh, I'll wait till a more convenient time. Yeah. There's certain people with natures that they keep putting things off in the kingdom of God. So the Lord in the end says, enough is enough. And he brings a situation in your life that you can't put it off anymore.
Yeah.
It's just like with Jacob. Now you've got angry labor on one hand, you've got Esau coming with his, how many, 400, 500 armed men on the other, and he puts you in a situation, it's okay, my friend. You've put this off long enough.
Yes.
It's time for us to have a meeting here. It's time for us to get down to business. And it was like that with Jairus. There was no more way that he could put it off till tomorrow. The problem is, it was then. Action had to take place. He had to get to Jesus, or his child would die. And you in your situation, sometimes you find your vision has died. Your first love has died. You find there's a certain temptation comes inside of your life and you realize, I don't have the strength to overcome this thing. If I don't get to Jesus now, if he doesn't do something for me, I could end up doing something that I can't undo inside of my life.
Amen.
Fred, at those kind of times, you don't want to listen to reasoning.
That's right. Amen.
You don't want to listen to reasoning at all. You don't want to listen to the wrong kind of a voice. You just want the deep that's ministering
Amen.
To you to be the thing that you focus on.
Amen.
You just focus on that deep. The prophet says he ran up and fell down at his feet. He said, Lord, I've got a little girl laying over there just at the point of death. And I can imagine him saying this, I heard about you and always down in my heart and believe that you will when you say that you will.
Amen.
Our friends, we hear about the message. We share about the great things that God does. And God now brings us in a situation to say, I want to bring it so that you can say, I have heard about now. I see.
Amen.
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 And God down there says, Master, I've heard about you.
Amen.
And friend, that was a real, real good thing that he did. And Jesus now starts to speak to him. And Jesus knew, yeah? He says, let's go. And away they went. Little Jairus kind of looking around the crowd. And my, he kind of felt better after he heard Jesus say, I'll come. So imagine that. Put yourself in this situation. You've got a great need, an urgent need. And you get yourself, it's a time of visitation when Jesus is near. You get yourself right at his feet and you put your petition and say, Master, please come to my house. My daughter's at the point of death. And then he says, I'll come. Ah, friend, he's so happy. But it's not the end of the story. It wasn't the end of the story. Like I said, there's going to be a counterattack.
Amen.
The prophet says, you can get an audition with Jesus.
Cool.
In a few minutes, everything clears up.
Yeah.
You don't care what they say about you from then on.
Yeah.
As long as you can just get Jesus to talk to you.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Ah, friends, in those situations you need Jesus to talk to you.
Amen.
There's kind other people, you appreciate all the other people, but you need Jesus to speak to you.
Amen.
You need, like the brothers were saying, you need the voice behind the voice.
Amen.
You might have the voice of ministry, you might have the voice of your friends, and all of them have good intentions, but there's times where you need the voice behind the voice.
Amen.
You need the supernatural voice to speak directly to you.
Amen.
And that's what happened. Jesus, the word, spoke directly to him and says, I'll come. And now Jairus was doing well. He's walking step by step with the word. He's in step with the word. Yeah. The prophet says he was walking with Jesus. And he was smiling. Then as he's walking along the road, he thought, this guy is a seer, he's a prophet. He's the man. I know he's done it in other places. And he's already given me the assurance.
Amen.
But the prophet says, watch the devil now.
Yes, sir.
Because his faith is strong. He's walking with Jesus. But someone's going to come and give him some bad news.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Expect the counter punch. Expect it just when you're walking with Jesus and you're smiling like Jairus said. It's over. My friend, it's not over till it's over. It's not over till it's over. Don't count your hands before the hatch. Too quick. And the prophet says, watch the devil now. He said, the devil, I will bring the props out from under him. I'll fix him up. I'll take that smile off his face. About time they got a few hours down the road. Our friends, things will be happy in this man's life for a few hours. Situations are right. And Jesus has given me an assurance already. About the time they got a few hours down the road, here comes a man running. And the man's got ashes on his head. Say, don't trouble the master anymore. You want to come home, he's dead. We've done, laid her out, she's dead. Don't trouble him anymore. When Jairus heard that, I can see his little heart skip a beat. He grabbed his heart. He looked over towards Jesus. Jesus, with that clear cut, the prophet says, oh my, I can't find a word to say. That no soul never in trouble.
Amen.
No matter how trouble it was about him. That's how the prophet explains how Jesus.
Amen.
He just had a look on his face. I know.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't matter how trouble it is around you.
Amen.
With me, I'm no trouble about it.
Amen.
And on the way from the visitation to the testimony, you need to stay close to him.
Amen.
Because when those situations come, you need to look to him again and say, well, let me understand what's going on. You need him to look at you and say, all is well. Only believe in you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That no soul never in trouble. No matter how troubled it was around him, he was always at peace. I can see those sacred eyes move over to see the reaction of Jairus. And he said, fear not. Only believe. You'll see the glory of God.
Amen.
That's what the prophet says about Jesus. He knew where he was going. You see, the visitation comes very specifically, friends. He knew where he was going. He knowed what would take place. He knowed what the vision had spoken. He knowed God is faithful to his word.
Amen.
Friends, but hey, in the midst of the storms like that, it's easy to take our eyes off Jesus and put them on the storm. Like Peter, and then you start to sink, and then he has to take us by the hand and say, but why did you doubt? Little Jairus now with his head up. Walked right on in. Now look how the vision becomes a testimony, a visitation. They get to Jairus' house. Now what is surrounding Jairus' house? Unbelievers. Unbelief all around and everywhere. And not quiet unbelievers. They're weeping and mourning and woe is me. I never thought this could happen. Oh, Jairus. And his wife and all those kind of things. Amen. Amen. If you want in the visitation to become a testimony, don't spend time with those people.
Amen. Amen.
You don't want to stay out there with those kinds of people.
Amen.
You want to go in there with Jesus.
Amen.
That's how you're
going
to become a testimony. You want to get shut in with him and you want to shut the unbelievers out.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to unfold itself to what God wants it to be.
Amen.
Yeah, so he gets in, the prophet says. Now, what do you think they say? Jesus has said things. Now they're going to say things as well. It's not only his voice that you're going to hear. There's going to be other voices as well. Now what do you think they say? Those people who doesn't know God. Friends, at those kind of times, you don't want to spend too much time with those people who doesn't know God.
Right.
You'd rather spend time with those people who do know God.
Amen.
Those people that have walked that path before. Those people that can tell you, hey, my friend, be careful of this. Walk in this kind of way.
Amen.
Those are the kinds of people that you want. He says, you know what Jesus did? They laughed at him. So you know what he did? He put them out.
Amen.
Amen.
It seems like that's what you need to do as well. Amen. Someone comes to visit you, they've got a spirit of criticism, they're trying to take your faith down. My friend, you just need to all of a sudden remember in your diary that you had an urgent appointment.
Amen. Amen.
Right. You just need to send a text message to another brother and say, brother, can you quickly phone me?
Yes, sir.
Invite me to your house. And the person phones, oh, no, brother, I'm coming. I'm sorry, but I need to go.
Amen.
The devil is coming. What is the rest of anyway. The prophet says they laughed at him, so he put them out. He says, he put all of them out on the outside.
Amen.
How could he get to do anything around a bunch of unbelievers
yes, sir.
Like that?
Amen.
He says, what believers need to do is to congregate themselves together.
Amen.
And pray until Christ comes
Amen.
In them.
Amen. Amen.
Then
Amen.
Signs and wonders will take place.
Amen.
Shut yourself out from what I mean. Let's come to close. He says, there he was. There he was, all enclosed about with their unbelief. He stood there with the father and the mother of the child. They believed. And he took Peter, James, and John, faith, hope, and charity.
Yes, sir.
And he walked them into the room. And he closed the door behind them.
Amen.
That's where the glory is not there.
Amen.
We've got to push our way through the unbelief. Push our way through the crowd, the criticism, the sorrow, the no hope, and all those kind of things. And go with Jesus. Not enough just to allow him to take you from the seashore to your house.
Amen.
You need to go in the inner veil. You need to go right to the place where the problem is. Right to the inner chamber there. And it's just you and faith, hope, and charity.
Amen.
The mother and the father, the ones that had a personal interest in the situation. The ones that had a deep interest in what was going on. The ones that had a desperation. They were together with Peter, James, and John. They shut all the unbelief out. And the veil dropped around them. And now they're there with Jesus. Oh, wow. For another thing, now the visitation's unfolded itself to something far more personal than just meeting Jesus in a crowd. Yeah. Although you might even have spoken to him in the crowd. Many even have ministered fish and loaves to good things. But at this kind of a time, Jairus needed something far more personal. Man. He needed Jesus to come right into the inner chamber of them.
Amen.
To really minister them to the deep.
Amen.
The deep need that we have there. The prophet says, on the outside there was a wall of unbelief. But Jesus was possessed with another power.
Amen.
That after earthly things had failed, he could speak another language.
Amen.
Amen.
What did he say? Tell it to Google.
Hallelujah.
He spoke a language, my friend, that was a spoken word language. And that's what you need. You need to get yourself shut in with the spoken word.
Amen.
You need to get yourself shut in with Jesus, the anointed word in English.
Amen.
You need to allow him to come right down, shut out the unbelief, and then you allow him to speak. His creative voice into this.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen.
And that's what he did. And the prophet says, and he spoke out into a world yonder, where the child's soul was, and a girl that was laying stiff and dead rose again to her feet in the bloom of life. He called her back to life as he spoke up. Talitha Kumai. And he said, daughter, arise. He picked her up by the hand. He said, give her some food. He says, oh, I'm so glad tonight to know that Jesus Christ still lives in me.
Amen.
And still is the same God tonight that he was in that day.
Thank you, Lord.
He's forever alive. Happy then.
Yes. Amen.
I'm so glad corruption knew its master.
Yes, sir.
The spirit knew its creator.
Hey.
And nothing else could do. But it had to return as soon as the Son of God called her back. Oh, friend, when he speaks into your situation, hope may have fled, but hope comes back. Joy may have taken its flight, but joy comes back.
Amen.
You might have forgotten what it was to have revival inside of your soul. But you just allow the visitation to unfold itself. You just allow him to speak to that corruption and see what comes forth. You'll find life will come back in.
Amen.
You'll find where it was sorrow, where there were the dark robes of mourning, where there was the ashes on the head. You can imagine the testimony meeting. You can imagine the joy. You can imagine the rejoice. You can imagine the resurrection of hope that came in that kind of a situation. And then the prophet at the end, he says, if the pianist could come in peace and play softly, abide.
Amen.
Oh, friend, that was an appropriate song.
Amen.
Though fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, but God with me abide. I don't mind if all other helpers fail and all comforters flee. Oh, thou, that what? How does it say? That faileth not.
Amen.
Abide. I'm sure that's your desire.
Amen.
In every situation, let that be our prayer.
Amen.
Let that be our desire, said Jesus, amen. Right from the beginning of this tomb. Right when I go to the point that you want between you and I.
Amen.
And my faith starts to wave and speak to you, and you will speak to me once again with those eyes of reassurance, and you speak to my soul and say,
hallelujah.
You'll see the glory of God.
Amen.
And keep abiding with him and get with him into the inner veil and shut yourself in with God. And wait there. Allow the testimony to come forth. And then you come forth from there and you say, oh, I've heard of you with the hearing of my ears.
Amen.
I've heard of your goodness. I've heard of your grace. But now my eyes see the great things that you
have.
Let's go from the visitation which we're preaching. And let's keep going on with this testimony.
Amen.
Whatever the testimony, put it on the floor.
Amen.
Let's stand.
Amen.
Let's sing this song. Let's close in a little prayer this evening. Sing that so much. Let's not sing that I don't think too many saints do. You know the saints come from God? There's some of the old songs that you find in Uni Berlin. Like you say, it's good to go back to some sweet songs. When we were there, some of the songs, sweet, sweet songs, which the sound of Brother George was taking down quite a few of the songs that came to Sunday. You find them inside of them. You choose whatever you want to do. Listen, he knows my name, eh? He knows my every thought. He sees each prayer.
Before my eyes, before
because of what a friend you know where you are. You know, your soul is in the journey. He knows where he wants you to be. And he knows how to get you. Maybe you have a desire. Maybe there's a deep inside of you and you say, Lord, just continue to minister this thing. I can never allow anything else to quench a holy thirst. If he's given you a holy thirst and deep inside of you for him, don't try to quench it with anything. He's the author. He's the author of that thirst. And he's the only one that can quench it. And never be satisfied until he's done that. Don't stop short. Don't accept second best. Seek the grace of God to send him.
Amen.
I don't want to be psychic. I don't want to go around and around again.
Amen.
But Lord, this time, I want to keep my eyes on the north side.
Amen.
This time, I'm going to cross Jordan.
Amen.
This time, I'm going all the way.
Amen.
I want my mountain. I want my inheritance.
Amen.
I want the fullness of what you died for me.
Amen.
I want to be what you know that I can be. I don't want it just to be potential. I don't want to just see a partial image, Lord.
Amen.
But Father, your great visitation of mercy
Amen.
To us.
Yes.
Help me to walk with you, Lord. Guide me on. Take me deeper. Take me further.
Amen.
And Lord, when other voices come, when other atmospheres want to come and help me, Lord, to shut myself in with you.
Yes, Lord.
Help me to shut the unbelief out.
Yes, Lord.
And Jesus, you feel this something that you put inside of my soul.
Amen.
And let it burn. Let it burn all the dross away. Let it burn all that belief away. And let it become something that's so powerful in me that even all the devils in hell can put it out. The sense that's his desire. I'm sure that's your desire.
Amen.
But I don't speak to him for a short time before the Lord. And then you need, let's put it before the Lord. And then you close the Lord.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Father, that we have to come amongst us to see the Lord God. Father, what a blessed assurance we have, what a sure word of prophecy we have. Father, Lord, you sent us to this day. Father, Lord, what a blessed word of redemption. That Lord, the Jesus, that we trust, we share as Father. Oh God, back from witness we came. Lord,
Lord, Father, with me, Lord, said you would come back. Lord, you'd come back with great expectations even on Sunday, Lord. But we did this other day. Help us that we stay, Father, in that blessed assurance, Lord.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. We will bring you once again upon this night.
Amen.
As we proceed, Lord, upon this night, Father, such blessed promises that you've given to us.
Amen.
You'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us.
Amen.
But you'll be with us, even in us, to the end of the age.
Amen.
So we know that you'll be with us. Lord, help us, Father. Give us traveling mercies upon this
Amen.
Night. Thank you, Father, Lord, for the testimonies, Lord. Thank you for
Amen.
Our brother.
Yes,
Lord.
Lord
thank you for all the things that you do. Father, just continue to unfold these things in our lives.
Yes,
Lord. Bring us safely home, Lord. Help us to be shut in with thee, Lord.
Yes,
Lord.
Amen.
I do pray for each of your people upon this night. Father,
yes.
Every circumstance, every situation.
Yes.
Father, you know what you're trying to do in the lives of your people. Father,
yes.
You know the enemy will try to do as well. But Father, our eyes are not on him, but our eyes are on you.
Amen.
So you guide and lead and glorify.
Yes.
Father, bless tomorrow. Give us rest. Give
Amen.
Us fellowship.
Amen.
Father,
Amen.
All the things that should be done, Lord, we dedicate them up unto thee.
Amen.
Pray for our young people. Pray for the children.
Yes.
Yes, Lord, you deal with them as well. Pray for each home that's represented,
Amen.
Father, each husband, each wife, each family. That, Father, Lord, you'll continue, Lord, to lead us
Amen.
To
yes.
what you're supposed to be. And, Lord, if there be a Sunday, won't you bring us back once
again? Amen.
Father, have mercy upon us, Lord.
Amen.
Into our house, Lord. Jesus, we long to set at your feet. We long, Lord, that you'd feed our soul. We long
yes.
to speak at us.
We long to worship you in spirit.
Amen.
Lord, that you help us. Bless the song leader, bless the musicians.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
We thank you for
Amen.
Them, Lord. Continue to bless Christ. Them and guide them, lead them, and use them,
yes,
Lord,
Jesus.
To minister a blessing unto your people.
Amen.
Lord, I do pray for each officer in us, the deacons and the trustees, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Just pray your blessing upon each of them, Lord. Thank you, Amen. Father, for Father, the ministers that have ministered in these weeks gone by. Bless
yes,
them.
Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for your blessing upon them.
Yes.
Thank you for the things that you do. Now, Father, we want to commit ourselves into your hands. Watch over us as we go. Father, be with us in our cars, even as we travel.
Yes.
In the fellowship that you'd have one with another.
Amen.
That, Father, Lord, we may get to our homes and say, did not our hearts go?
Amen.
And then, Lord, may we constrain you to come in with us.
Oh, yes, Lord.
May you come into the inner chamber and break the bread
yes,
unto
Lord.
Us, Lord.
Amen.
May you be known unto us in the breaking of bread is our desire.
Amen.
Father, bless your people as we dismiss in your precious name.
Amen.
Let's dismiss as we sing one day very important for us, please, God.
Jesus.